Welcome to the Spirit School of Ministry podcast, where we discuss discipleship in your everyday life.
Hello, and welcome to Spirit School of Ministry podcast. Today, I am joined by the amazing Pastor Bob.
Yay.
Amazing.
And the even more amazing Jeremiah Tasco. We could call him so many things.
A lot more amazing.
Yes.
I hear that people tune amazing. Into our podcast and wonder why we're laughing when we come on.
Yeah. If you saw what happens before that we start recording, you would completely understand. Yes. I guess it's a good thing. It shows the level of relationship that we have together, that we can just be in this life together and enjoy our time and laugh, right?
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
Okay. So today is going to be fun. Whether I like it or not, I was asked what is on my heart. And when God puts something on my heart, he doesn't usually just do one thing. It's multiple things. And so I sent this whole list to my amazing podcast mates here. And so what we have kind of decided was to just kind of start at the top and go through everything. So the very first thing that was on her, and it's been the strongest because, shameless plug, we had our Spirit School of Ministry Spirit and Truth Encounter weekend this weekend.
Yeah.
And during that time, it was amazing. But during the time, we have set activations of time that we're just asked to spend with the Lord. And the very first one, one of our leaders, Pastor Shell, had just said, I need you just to spend some time with God and see what he's revealing to you from the teachings that we had had that morning. Mm-hmm. And so as I'm just sitting there, she hadn't even finished talking yet, and just so loudly in my head and in my heart, I just heard symbiosis. And I'm going to excuse me, and I'm going to ask and apologize in advance. I'm going to ask for your forgiveness if I mutilate some of these words. But he gave me the word symbiosis. And so I was like, well, what does that even mean, Lord? And so he said, go look it up, right? So as I started looking up that word, it sent me down this like crazy rabbit trail, because there's so many different levels of symbiosis. And I had always just thought of it as a parasite, like on a tree. And I had taken some botany in school. And so that was kind of where my mind like originally had gone with it. So I didn't know where it was going to take me. And so as I'm going through it and actually seeing the different levels and the multiple layers and levels of symbiosis and how it exists in nature, my mind was really blown. And so it started where I went up and looked up symbiosis. And yes, that can actually, it's a, you know, two organisms being together in a similar state or using each other for something, which is where the cancer portion of things like the parasites on a tree and that kind of stuff can come into play. But then it also took me into what's called a mutualistic symbiosis, where there is a level of benefit by both parties. So it isn't just one party taking from the other party. It's actually both parties benefiting. Mm-hmm. And then that took me into even a deeper level, because there's layers of that. There's either the obligate mutualistic symbiosis, where literally both species are entirely dependent on each other for survival. And without the other, neither of them can survive. So they would literally die. And then there's facultative mutualistic symbiosis, where the species benefit.
I know.
I need Pastor David here to be able to like say this up for me.
The spirit of Pastor David is upon you.
Holy Spirit, Pastor David.
12-letter F word.
He would break it down and tell you what the Greek
really
origins
good Scrabble
are.
Word score right there. Good killer rep.
Maybe that's why God was giving me these.
Playing Scrabble tonight?
Our next young adult meeting. We'll be playing Scrabble with her.
I'm not playing Scrabble with her.
Not with her.
He cheats.
Symbiosis.
Fun. I know. I couldn't even say the word, but now I'm learning more. So in the facultative mutualistic symbiosis, the species benefit from the interaction, so both benefit, but they can still survive when they're separated. Mm-hmm. And so a question that Pastor Bob had asked was this about dependence. Yes, there is a level of that, but really what God was giving me was more of that point where you are so... you will die without God or die without our brothers and sisters, that it's part of you, and that everything that you do and every action that you take relies on that other person or God. Like that's a whole deeper level that I had never even thought about or contemplated before this. So What did you guys think when I sent this to you?
Wow.
That's funny. First thing I thought is, God doesn't talk to me smart. I thought, you know, he said, you know, he's like, Holy Spirit, be a little dumber with Bob. Okay. Don't use big words, you know, but I loved it. It shocked me in some ways.
Yeah.
When I got it, I think it shocked JT also.
Oh yeah.
Maybe not as much. Okay. I immediately went and asked Google, what are we actually talking about here? Mm-hmm. But you know, once you get past that part, then you have to actually ask the Lord to show you what's going on here. And I love where the Lord brought you there with it, because there is a component of a mutual interdependency on each other that talks about the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
About who we actually are. And we can lose sight of that pretty easily, right? Because we have our busy days and we do our stuff and we're like, we got stuff. Right. And if we get how much we are actually dependent on him and on each other, and we're, our lives are vitally connected to his and to each other's. Mm-hmm. And when we don't recognize that, then we forget what the word tells us about, you know, Ephesians, every joint supplies, we are fully connected, bone of his bone, flesh of his. Mm-hmm. We can easily make those nice, pithy statements,
right?
With no power, no consequence, no God reality. Mm-hmm. And I believe that God, you know, he came to this funny little world spinning on its axis, to do a little bit more than us to just go and live through this and die, and then that's that.
Right.
Yeah. I think it was, he's giving us I think he actually gave you a snapshot, a view into who he is, how the Trinity is together, and how he's inviting us into that place. Mm-hmm. Where we're dependent on each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is, you know, and so this, it let my mind go into a whole bunch of places, you know, like, you know, when the Lord came and died, spirit, soul, and body, and went into hell, I can imagine the Father and Holy Spirit, like, I can't be without him. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't live without him.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like that. You know. Yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry. I went off on a tangent there, but it sent me to those. Those big words will send you to weird places. You're not careful. but there's and I wonder, like, are we like that for real with each other?
Mm. Yes.
Are we just okay with, you know, somebody comes into our lives and passes through, or somebody passes away even, and we're just no biggie, biggie. Yeah, I remember that guy. And anyway, so yeah. I went heavy on you, but
that's good.
That's what I hear when I hear those big words I can't say.
Yeah, I love it. Wow. Yeah, for me too is the same. I heard the word or read the words because it was in the text.
And yes.
That's something I haven't heard before. Mutualism, I'm kind of getting, but anyways, after looking into it and was like, oh, okay, I got it. Just the word symbiosis to me, just the simple definition I looked up this morning is that living together in more or less intimate association or close union. That I love. Then it says of two dissimilar organisms, which is interesting. Well, but what's interesting there is a couple things. One, we are very much dissimilar to the Lord initially, right? Because we had a dead sin spirit. Our soul is just calloused and hard and stony, and our flesh is just overrun. So we are dissimilar in some ways. We're not abiding in his character. We're not abiding in him at all. We don't even know who he is. But he chose, as the greater of this whole relationship, to make a way for us to be connected to him and to attach to him. And not just as a dissimilar organism attaching to a greater, if you will, but to be an organism that becomes just like him. So there is like not only symbiosis, I don't know what the scientific proper word is, but like we become actually one.
Right.
Where there is no difference between the two of us. Like And we can say that and think that's just spiritually. Oh yeah, spiritually we're like him. Well, he also has made a way through Jesus for us to be just like Jesus in spirit, soul, and body. Mm-hmm. And so that's where my mind started to go. And then as you were describing what you were getting from the Lord, Athena, I was getting the picture of, you know, the vine and the branches, and how, you know, Jesus said multiple times, you know, you got to abide in me, right? Stay in the vine. Like everything you need that pertains to life and godliness is found in the vine. Like the vine will supply, the vine will provide, the vine will bring you the nutrients, the nourishment, the purpose, but you have to stay in me. And that to me is that kind of the definition of symbiosis, right? The intimate part of it, where that's so, it's so, well, let's say it this way. It's like you like a portion of a tree, because we're grafted in. The Bible also says that we're grafted in to the vine. And so if anybody's ever done any botany, which I haven't, mm-hmm. but I've watched some people do it online, they'll like splice together, you mm-hmm. know, like an orange branch and a peach tree. I don't know. They're trying to make some sort of
hybrid
fruit or whatever. But they take a branch and they have to like press them together, wrap them together, and then wait for them to fuse together to where all the cells and the makeup of both the different types of branches actually come into that state of symbiosis, right? Where they begin to graft together. So that was kind of coming to my mind, like, oh, that's interesting, because the Lord does that for us too. He gives us a brand new spirit, which is just like him. And then I believe that's where the grafting, you know, has attached, and then it begins, if we're yielding to that process through our soul, like it begins to completely permeate who we are. Mm. And then we become more and more like him. Like that's the process we're kind of welcomed into.
Yeah.
Love that.
That it, he really, so for me, I have really gotten to a place where I keep going to the Lord and I'm like, Lord, there are moments where I feel you in every, like, pore of my being, like to my fingertips, to my hair, to like those moments of just that unification, that being mm-hmm. one. I want that all the time, Lord. Like, what do I have to do? Where do I have to go? What do I have to learn? Like all of these things. Mm. But then when he was revealing this to me, just as both of you were saying, there's different levels of things that I don't think I have recognized. And it isn't just him that I am searching for that for. I need my brothers and sisters, because we are his body. Mm-hmm. And so I shouldn't just be looking for that feeling from him all the time. I should also be looking for that feeling with my brothers and sisters all the time. I should fully be in tune with the body. To give you an example, I have somebody that I used to work with, and the Lord has really been putting her on my heart a lot lately. Mm-hmm. And so I texted her last night during class because it was really, really heavy. And this morning she texted me and she goes, you have no idea how much that meant to me. Mm-hmm. You always seemed, we seemed to be connected. That was the word she used. Mm-hmm. We seemed to be connected because I'm having a really hard time. And your text message actually made me cry.
Yeah.
And all I said was, I'm thinking about you. I hope you and the family are doing well.
Yeah.
But it was... And then, so this morning, and when we were getting ready for this, and I was going over my notes, and I was like, God, like that is what it means, because it blessed my heart immensely to get that message mm-hmm. from her this mm-hmm. morning. And so that, like you said, that becoming infused and becoming one, where it's just mm-hmm. part of everything that we do, when I'm at that point, then I should still be able to feel at every part of my being, my fingertips, my toes, my legs, my hair, all the things. I should
feel them in my hands. Right. I feel them in my feet.
Oh, are we doing it? Feel them
in, remember that Junior Church song? Yeah, that was great.
I love that.
That's super cool.
But yeah, so that's just another level. And then the mm-hmm. scripture that you just said about the vine was actually one that he gave me mm-hmm. during this time with him as well.
Mm. So. I love that. When you were talking about all this, I for some reason I thought of a person who gets a heart mm-hmm. transplant. Mm-hmm. Like it's coming from a different person. It has some of the same kind of attributes,
sure.
if you will.
Sure.
Similarities, yes. But it's different. It's actually from a whole different human being, right? Yeah. So it's, there's a lot of things aren't going to be exactly the same, right? Because mm-hmm. we're so different, right?
Right.
And yet it's when it's planted, transplanted into that person, there's a lot of things that start to happen. The first interesting thing is the rejection that starts to occur. And then the medicine that's required to cause the rejection to subside right. from the body
right.
to be able to accept that thing.
Interesting.
So as soon as you said that, it just God just immediately brought me like deep in. He was like, "It that's my grace in the body of Christ. Because my grace, I have to pour that into the body because I'm fusing them together. They are significantly similar right. and significantly different.
So good.
Right? Yeah. It's not like we're completely... exactly the same. Jesus, right. in John 17, make them one as we're one, right? Mm-hmm. The love that we have, let them. Mm-hmm. But they're actually distinct persons of the Trinity, mm-hmm. totally locked, totally shared, right? But what causes the connection is the love mm-hmm. that they have mm-hmm. and the grace,
yeah.
right? Which is, God's love really... here on the earth, really dispersed into the body. And to understand how when a heart is transplanted into a person, once that whatever you want to call it, medicine, the conditioning mm-hmm. is done so that it will accept the heart, right. okay? That heart now has the ability to sustain life in the person.
Yes.
And pump the life, the blood, mm-hmm. the lifeblood, right? To the whole body. Mm. So, right? And so it sounds impossible, right? But, right. by the grace of God, God's made man, give him wisdom, mm-hmm. give him witty invention, right. all that fun stuff we hear in the Bible, to actually start to, do these things, And, someday I think they'll probably replace heads. Oh. but yeah, that's fun.
Already doing it, Pastor Bob.
Yes. But the reality is, I didn't want to be too serious.
Yeah.
But the reality is, that's God pumping through the body. That's his grace. That's his power mm-hmm. coming through the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that causes that symbiotic relationship
yeah.
of kind of distinct, different mm-hmm. people, if mm-hmm. you will, to be actually come together and supply
yes.
for each other, right?
Yeah,
so, yeah supply on spiritual levels, heart levels, mm-hmm. physical levels, mm-hmm. actually supply. Yeah. And that, mm-hmm. but that's God's purpose and plan. That's how he did it. That's why, he's changing us, like you said. Mm-hmm. He's turning us, day by day more, if we yield to him, more into his image, his likeness, how he operates,
yeah.
On a whole lot of levels. And there's a lot of things that, there's a lot of things that could cause rejection, right? Conflict, confusion, just things that would keep the body from mm-hmm. but when the appropriate thing, I'm going to just say medicine, if you will,
sure.
Of God is applied, it's not all the time, boom, instant fix. It right. takes some time.
Interesting.
It takes some time, right? And then we and sometimes that medicine is God, bringing humility to yes. the proud, yes. right?
Right.
Setting down someone when they're too lofty, yeah? Mm-hmm. And then in that process, doesn't feel good, but the end result is you start to really love.
Mm.
When I say start to love, you start to allow the love of God to actually...
Yes.
Because... if I understand your science, your thing
what
here.
If I understand
the symbiotic relationship requires the other person mm-hmm. in one, at least in one of those flavors. It requires the other entity or person
yes.
to be there, or they don't
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we don't understand this. This is why when the Bible starts talking about communion mm-hmm. and things like this mm-hmm. and starts talking about, and by the way, JT, before I forget,
yes.
I know God's given you something on the power of God and the healing power of God. And the other day we were taking communion,
yes.
that thing, and I thought, oh, communion's part of this. I don't know. I meant to tell you that. I'm sorry. We're in the podcast.
No,
we're in the podcast doing this thing, and I'm like, I got to just tell you because I'll forget. Sir. But there's something about communion that's supposed to be part of that. I haven't talked to you about this, yes. so I don't know where you're going
I
with
love
it,
it.
But so
it's part of his medicine.
It's part of the medicine, but God, right? God comes in. And he's taken care of making sure we will be dependent
yes.
on him and on each other in a really special way. So it's not just a bunch of words and a nice religion,
mm-hmm. Amen.
But a life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I went off on a
that was amazing
weird
oh,
tangents
so
there. I'm just, I don't even know where that
it was weird. It was very weird.
Very weird.
Super, it was extra weird. It was supernatural.
I love it.
It was beyond wow. deep.
Yeah.
Athena, I love, you know, it's so wonderful to fellowship over what God is sharing with it, with each other, you know, or with individuals. And he gives it in funny ways. Mm-hmm. And I love how it kind of started for you, because what happened for us, and I know what happened for me, was like, what are we talking about? You know, and it's just that like you said, that shock,
yeah.
right? So you have to go dig into it and go look it up. And the Lord's showing us something that we actually
yes.
are familiar with, do endeavor to do, mm-hmm. but from a different angle, right? And a different perspective, and it's a different way to appreciate it. And I love it. Gosh, Dad, as you were talking about the heart, I was just hearing again what Athena said about what the interaction, that moment
yeah.
of
yeah.
connection. What's something that's interesting with what both of you said is that we don't realize that we think connection is only when we're actually talking to each other. Mm. But when we become bone of his bone and flesh of his mm. flesh, we're joined to the body of Christ. We are connected, but we don't realize it. And then you said this word rejection, Dad, and I just got the picture of, you know, folks coming to church, whether it's they're new to the church or have been in the church for a long, long time, and they may not feel connected.
Yeah.
Because those who are meant to connect are, I wouldn't say they're overtly rejecting, but they are in a way not discerning, thus mm-hmm. rejecting.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
So your analogy about the heart is heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm. You think?
Because
yeah,
the Lord spoke to this pretty clearly about that we don't discern the body. Mm-hmm. We don't realize who we've actually mm-hmm. been joined to. Right. We are not understanding. And I believe because of the lack of understanding, we are ignorant at times. That's one way. And then there's another way where we do understand, but we don't want to connect. Mm-hmm. That's the harder part, where you were just talking about humility and humbling ourselves. And that's where, you know, in our class last night, we were covering several things about various types of ministries, but the emphasis there, you know, out of Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians mm-hmm. 12, the emphasis is many-membered body, but yes. one body.
Mm-hmm.
Many gifts, many attributes, many characteristics, many functions, one spirit, one body. So remembering yeah. like we all have a different part to play, but we are all parts of a whole. Mm. And so we have to remember that. And then, you know, I kept emphasizing, it was just like the Lord was just, to me, was drilling this into my heart, the Romans 12:10
yeah.
part of, it's about brotherly love in verse 9 mm-hmm. and brotherly, and in verse 10 about honoring one another.
Mm-hmm.
And that's recognizing each other, preferring each other, I'm gonna say exalting, but esteeming each other greater mm-hmm. than ourselves, and making that connection. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's a super simple text, and other times I need to drive a couple hours to make that connection.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we are connected, I need to make the connection like tangible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I believe that's what the Lord was saying to you, mm-hmm. Athena, about making it tangible. Because it's really easy for us to make connection passive. And it's kind of like, oh, it'll happen on Sunday when I see everybody. Mm-hmm. Right. And we put it off, unfortunately, yeah. because we have our own things that we're attentive to, which they're important. But, you know, like God has me in that place right now with my sons, my two oldest, you know, my teenage boys, 16 and 14, like attentive to them, spend time with them. And I'm not teaching or doing much. I'm just sitting with them. And we're hanging out, and they're telling me about things, and I have to create connection time, right? And so I don't know. That's what's coming up.
I love it. My mind. Well, you know, I just keep hearing that word about communion,
yeah,
and that taking the Lord's supper, His table, coming to His table, and the discernment that's required doesn't happen, you know, from far away or with no time. It, you know, we like to think discernment's all this, that, you know, this mystical thing comes down and boom, you get it and all. Mm. But it actually comes in relationship and time with each other, discerning the need,
yes.
right? In
yes.
the context of all that, it's like, well, the end of it is, you know, before the Lord's Supper, there's the, you know, the love feast, which now you're really caring for each, you know, other people and their needs and all that. But on top of that, when you come to the supper, you're the discernment that if it's not done, if you don't take the time to do it, this is why it says there's sick,
right?
Some sleep. Like there, it is actually a matter of life and death. Mm-hmm. It really is. Mm-hmm. And we have to see it as that. And it could be a matter of physical life and death,
sure,
right? Or in some cases, someone not saved, spiritual
right.
death, or soul. Mm. Like someone's soul just being so ruined because we haven't discerned to take the time for their soul.
Right.
That now they go off. What we were supposed to
supply
yeah. right, on a soul level, we put it off to some weird either spiritual spooky thing that, oh, they got it mystically on Sunday morning from us, or we do it some natural way, you know, I gave them $5, you know, and which may have to happen,
sure.
right? I get sure. that. That may be the discerning that's required. It may be physical, but we might just eliminate the fact that actually we're heart to heart.
Yeah.
We are supposed to impart to each other God's heart to each other.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know how to put so it into good. Better words than that. But when we don't supply the needs of the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. Yeah? So that's why, you know, if we are actually allowing His heart into ours, you know, new heart also will I give you. Yeah. That's nice mystical words. Except the reality is that means you carry the love, the compassion,
yes.
and you're willing to even, oh no, I'm going to make it, it's not all soft and fuzzy. You're actually willing to correct as well as connect.
Right.
This is who we are. So like it's not, it's across the whole board of our soul life, who we are
yes.
in this, or, you know, our emotions, our intellect and how we approach things. And we can just eliminate that. That's why I loved when, well, first of all, anyone who's still listening, okay, I'm just thinking, you know, the Lord wants to talk to you and speak to your heart, just like He did with Athena. Yeah. That this is the one thing I didn't share with either one of you when you sent your crazy text. I was thinking, the Lord's talking to her, and she's not so embarrassed that she's like not going to share it. Okay, this is that part of that is the spirit, soul, and body sharing, right? And I'm like, wow, she's okay with putting that forward. Like, it's okay. She feels safe.
Yeah.
Or even more than safe, she feels connected in part, right? And I hope we haven't talked about this. So I'm like, this is real time for people listening.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm thinking, I started talking to the Lord about this after one of our last texts where we're all joking with each other. We didn't really prepare for all this. We were just like, this is really like, those are big words,
yeah.
you know? But then I started talking to the Lord and you know, I thought, you know, people who are listening, they need to see that it's not just okay. Mm. It may be imperative that when God drops something into your soul, your heart, that you need to bring that to the body of Christ somehow, some way. Maybe you don't have a podcast, but there's a person, like the person you spoke to, you know, that you texted this morning. Yeah. You know, the, JT was talking to them earlier about a person that he has been communicating with. Like, those are nuggets of life. You hear what I'm saying? Yeah. They are essential to life, and we think they're just nothing. Anyways, someone out there,
that's really good.
You, God's given you stuff, and when you put it out there, you would be amazed the impact it would have on us.
Because at first, when you first asked that, I was like, these are just initial thoughts, Lord. Like, these aren't really something to go before on a podcast and speak to people that I thought, right? But because I have connection with you in relationship, and I actually thrive off of my interactions with both of you, individually and together, I was like, let me present this. And if they get something, they'll, I totally 100% know that either one of you would speak to it. So they said, okay, well, let me just put it out there then. And look where we are now. I literally think that, like you said, this is meant for somebody, obviously, because God makes no mistakes. He's very strategic in what he does.
Yeah.
But it did start with that, me feeling safe because I have connection with both of you. And I didn't have a any kind of hindrance in, even though I was like, oh, there's, this is a, not an incomplete thought, was kind of what I had thought. It's not an incomplete, this is an incomplete thought. But let me put it out there for them, because they will, they'll grab onto it, right?
I love
God
that.
Will like help them in that regard. And I know then that'll help me. And it has totally helped me. Because even down to your heart analogy where you were talking about, and he was talking about the infusing, when the heart is in there, it literally has to. It has to have the time. It has to have the means. So the medication, even the environment within that person's chest, to be able to connect properly those avenues that send the blood out. And we have certain people in our house that tend to feel like they're not, they're no longer needed, or they, their time has been expended here, or they've already been used in the way they were meant to, and that there's nothing left for them to do.
Right.
And that in itself, I got a visualization of a hand, and it's like, well, if that person is the hand of this house or this body, and I don't make a connection with it, I'm not sending the blood this way, the blood can't come back. So there, that hand is going to fall away and be gone. And then what am I going to do with one hand? I'm not going to be able to pick up or move or be able to do any of the things that I can do with two hands, let alone with one.
Yeah.
And that was just what I had gotten from, sorry, my visualization mind.
No, I love it. I, you know, I want to prod JT right now, especially his prophetic mantle. About, and I'm just going to say it this way. What keeps people from this is fear. So, son, would you mind like just speaking to the fear? I know I just dropped that on you. We haven't planned on this, but yeah.
It's okay. Yeah, fear. Fear has a stopping effect, and it's a the word that's coming to mind is it's a coagulant.
Like
it causes the lifeblood, the flow, to begin to harden, and then completely stop. And that's where we could go into a cardiac situation to continue with the heart analogy. And there's a lot of torment there. Bible says with where fear brings torment. And it's a torment that you can't get out from under. And God didn't design that. That's the other part of this symbiotic, this intimate relationship. He didn't design us to have fear. That's amazing. It's hard to understand because we live in a world that's just riddled with fear. It thrives on fear. It's fear motivated. It's a motivation of the heart. Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
That the what comes out of the heart is fear. It births things. It reacts to things. Fear is a vicious taskmaster. That just drives people to make wild decisions. Both for, you know, on the outward, from the world's purview, you know, like some of those things might be good. Like somebody could attain a lot and you achieve a lot, but they're driven by fear. because they're afraid of losing it all, or they're afraid of what could happen, or they're afraid of this. And it's just, fear is brutal. But God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind.
Amen.
And perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love. That's that agape love. We were talking about that in class last night. That love that's sacrificial, that love that is willing to take the risk and to be joined.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. So I just want to say to those listening that you do not have to live in fear. You do not have to stay in fear. You do not have to give in to fear. Mm. And even though we don't know what today may bring or tomorrow may bring, that we actually have a hopeful expectation. And sometimes our hope, like I just really sense this, sometimes our hope has gotten dashed to pieces, right? We've tried, we've put ourselves out there, we've gotten that rejection. Because rejection is a petri dish for fear. If you feel rejected, then you're just like, oh, they're not going to accept me. Oh, I'm not willing to step out. And you just step back. You take your hand off the plow and you turn back.
Yeah.
And I just sense the Spirit of God stirring all of us to not turn back, to continue to put our hand to the plow, and to be the hand of connection, right? This one thing that always turns the tide. I can't quite remember who said it, but whenever you're feeling rejected, reach out to somebody. That the antidote to it is the opposite action. Mm-hmm. Right? So fear wants to make you stop. It wants to hold you back. It wants to coagulate and cause things to stop flowing. So the antidote to that is to go reach out to somebody and pour into their life. And it may not be happening to you, like you were saying earlier, Athena. You're so prophetic, girl. Like you're saying, I'm feeling this with the Lord. I'm feeling this with the Lord. I want to feel that all the time, right? That connection. And then he's like, you are going to feel it. You're going to feel it through my body, mm-hmm. right? You will get it from the head, but you will also receive it from the body. But if you aren't receiving it from the body, go be that mm-hmm. to the body.
Yeah.
You know, when you were saying that about fear and like we quote the scripture so mm-hmm. often, it's not giving us that spirit, but he's giving us power, love, right. and a sound mind.
Right.
And I thought about it, and I thought, I think so much of the time, personally, I think of that as like the alternative to fear. Mm. But the reality is, God is actually saying in that word, I have given you power.
Yes.
Mm. Like, you have my power.
Yes.
Right? I mean, he you know, initiated his disciples, right, mm-hmm. with power, mm-hmm. yes. And he says, and also he's given you love, mm-hmm. right? Romans right. 5, right? Yeah. He's given it to us. It's already yes. ours, okay? Yes. And he's given us a sound mind. Yes. And when you said that, all of a sudden I see this like anchor mm-hmm. or this like rock, this mm-hmm. mountain, that sound, that something you can like depend on,
yes.
you can go to and you're safe there.
Yes.
Like it's not, but he's given that to you. It's not something like you have to go attain to or I said, or it's, here's your options. You can have fear or you can have a sound, you know, be a sound mind. But mm-hmm. in reality, he's already given it to us.
Yes.
Okay. It's not yes. like this is my promise for the future. I will give you power and love and a sound mind. He didn't promise power to his disciples for future. Mm-hmm. He said, go. Right?
Right.
You have power and authority, yes. tread on serpents and scorpions, yes. all the power of the enemy. Yeah. I yes. mean, it's like, you got this, right? You know, love wasn't like, oh, yes, I'm going to send my love to you. Someday you'll attain to my love. It's like, no, wow. I've given it.
Yes.
And sound mind. Mm. Like, you know, if you don't see yourself like that, then you will not become that rock, that structure. Mm-hmm. For others to cleave onto when they need
yes.
a place
yes.
to land.
It's really
like just floating around out there, looking, you know, in the dinghy, trying to like, where do we, you know, and here it is. I mean, I when you said it, I could just see this like mountain island coming out of the water. I'm getting visual that way. Yeah. I was like, and some guy just like, where is, oh, there you it know, is. It's like, boom, I'm on it. Yeah. I'm in it. Right. Mm. And so this is who we are to each other.
Yeah.
Right. This is that, symbiotic, you know, relationship. This is that, this is who we actually are. Mm-hmm. It's not, we will be, right? I know it does not appear what we shall be, but
sure,
yeah, I get that. What, you know, we're talking about full, you know, Christ-likeness and everything, but what he's given us now, right, are the things that pertain to life and godliness now, not later, now. And so this is who we are in him. Mm-hmm. And when we grab a hold of that, it's not something that we're searching for, like you said, like this feeling, like I wish I could. No, it's who you are.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about entering into that place. You already are that place.
Yes.
All right. So that's we went good. To a crazy end over there. I'm sorry. Whatever that was.
Last thing that came to mind earlier, right before you were provoking me, which I received, was the word covenant. Because you can't talk about relationship without talking about covenant.
Yes.
Because covenant, I know it's a Bible word and everybody's like, oh, covenant.
Yeah.
But covenant is God's design.
Yeah.
And he said, I will make a covenant with you. God initiated that. And the greater, you know, made covenant with the lesser. And then he said, lesser, you're going to be great, just like me. Mm. And he made a way for that. So covenant is also, that's binding.
Absolutely.
It's not a contract. That is blood bind. It's blood level binding, right? We'll get into covenants in the Old Testament, but you know, you've seen it on TV where two guys are two different tribes. They both, you know, put a knife across their hands and then they grab hands and they join hands together. It's not just the handshake. It's not just the cutting. It's the mingling of the blood. My blood is your blood. Your blood is my blood. That's what they're doing there in that moment of making covenant. So Athena, when you even sent a text to whomever you sent, and I'll just throw this out there for anybody too. Whenever you're reaching out to someone, you are covenant. Affirming. Mm-hmm. You are affirming the covenant. Mm-hmm. You are affirming that you are my brother. We are bone of bone and flesh of flesh. We carry the same blood. We come from different places. We have different ethnic backgrounds and all that stuff. Some are men, some are females, some are this class, that class, whatever. But when we come together in Christ and the blood that flows through Christ, now flows through us, we are of the same. We are of the same nature. We're of the same kind. The same life flows in all of us. And that is the thing we have to discern. Because when we don't discern that, then we are tearing. We're tearing away from what God joined together. Mm-hmm. That, it's so funny you said communion, Dad, because I think of... when I think of covenant, obviously, I think of covenant marriage, but that phrase has been going through my mind for weeks. What God has joined together, let no man tear asunder.
Yes.
We always relate that to marriage. Mm-hmm. I believe that relates to Christ and his body. Mm. And I also believe it relates to the body being fitly joined together. What God has joined together, let no man tear asunder.
I love that. Yeah. That's so good. You know, it makes sense why the first thing a man prophesied on the earth before he was fallen,
right,
was, therefore shall a man leave his mother and father, by the way,
yes,
there was no mommies and daddies running around at that point, and be joined to his, right? The covenant was the first thing that God showed between a man and a woman, a person, that's and the two shall become one.
Yes.
And by the way, it's one of the few prophecies that Jesus rehearses in the New Testament.
Yeah.
When he's dealing with people, religious people, who have no clue of what covenant is. They turned it into a contract.
Right.
They turned it into, you know, I can get rid of, she was a nice girl for a while. I'm getting rid of her.
I'm divorced.
Right. They turned it into this thing that served them. And meanwhile, the covenant was there to serve, listen, life.
Yes.
It was there to bring life.
Yes.
Bring forth life. Yes. And that's the deal that we can, like I said, we can relegate that to a man and woman having babies, and that's true, but it's also the body of Christ.
Yes. Right.
Right. Right. That's what we're here for. That's what we are about, right? Is to bring forth the life.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's and awesome.
It happens from, I love that, like you were saying, son, the covenant, mm-hmm. the intentionally coming together, knowing that we are, in fact, dependent on each other.
Yes.
Recognizing that and bringing ourselves to that, not just for the sake of the dependency,
sure.
but because we know what we are. Right. I was going to say assignment, but it goes beyond assignment.
It does, it's yes.
who we are.
Yes.
Right? Just like in the covenant in the beginning with Adam, they didn't have an assignment to go and populate the earth. Mm. They were designed. That's who right. they are.
Sure, sure, sure.
Right? There ain't others to do that, yes. right? They're it. And so I don't know. We went, it's I just want to go. There's a lot here. You know, you really shouldn't send big words.
You want
That's
to
all I'm going to say.
You want to close?
I want to mention one more thing before we close. Yeah. So something that you brought up, JT, was the aspect of love and the brotherly love that we talked about last night. Mm-hmm, and I feel like we also need to address something that you also brought up last night. Was that agape love. There's multiple levels of love and different types of love in the Bible. And if you're interested, you can go look. And I think we actually might have a podcast on it. But mm-hmm. One of the things JT said last night was that we tend to make that agape love, that selfish, unselfish, that sacrificial love mm-hmm. conditional. And we do it with God and we do it with each other.
Wow.
And I think that we sometimes get into a place of our own flesh in our own lives where we're in our own mind, like we talked about earlier, where we don't necessarily even recognize that we're possibly changing that love that we're reflecting to somebody or addressing to somebody from that agape love to another type of love. Mm. And it is that agape love that is going to unify us, that is going to bind us, that is going to allow us to continue to walk out what it is that we're called to do and be who we're meant to be.
I love that. So, yeah. I just keep hearing, I think Jade, son mentioned it earlier. If we're not careful, we portray that agape love as a transactional love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was never.
Mm-hmm. That. Right. That's right. Which makes we were saying how the agape love is that unconditional love of God. Like that's what he does. He's unconditional. Except if we don't accept it, we make it conditional.
Yes.
He didn't make it conditional.
Yeah.
We did.
Yeah.
And that word rejection is just bouncing around my soul right now because of the seriousness of it. That analogy, Dad, with the heart is just, I'm going to have to.
You and me both.
Deal with that one, man. But that selfless love, that agape love of the Father, demonstrated by Jesus, demonstrated by Holy Spirit, shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. That love can, I do want to prophesy, that love can and will bring you through all aspects of fear and will compel you to be reconnected to the body, to be fitly joined together, to remain in the place that God's put you, right? We heard a wonderful word this weekend on planting, being planted by the Lord and remaining in a planted place so that the roots can supply, the body now, the joints can supply, everything can be in its proper place to receive what it needs to receive. Mm-hmm. But we are, as the body, we are the agents, if you will, the transporters of this agape love. We have to continue to give that non-transactional, not conditional. I'm giving it to you because we're of the same. We're of the same love.
Yeah. I love that.
I love that. I love it too. I love
That's
it.
So good.
I'm loving it.
I'm going to actually, I sent the scripture to a friend this morning and I feel like it applies right now to send everybody off. And we want to thank you for joining us today. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you want to go read more, it's in Romans 15:13. God bless you all. We look forward to having you next time.
Thank you for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to get the latest episode. And for more information, visit our website, spiritschoolofministry.com.